praise and glory for you filling all that desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So praise God. We're going to jump into our continuance of our series. We've been talking about the flow. And today's message, I'm going to change it a little bit. And so you guys might have to stick with me a little bit. But we're going to talk today about thirst. Thirst. So let's go to John chapter 7, our foundation scripture. And we're going to begin at verse 37 through verse 39. And as we go through that, what I want you to think about is that Jesus, when he is standing in the square and he announces to everyone there, they have been 7 days into a feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, every year, all the Jewish males were required to come to Jerusalem, and they were required to set up tents all around Jerusalem. So they had to come from wherever they were, they had to come to this place, and they had to all be there. And every day they were required to go to the Pool of Siloam, get water, bring it to the temple, and pour the water out. They couldn't drink it, they couldn't do anything with it, they had to just go get this water, bring it to the temple, and pour it out. And so every day for 7 days, they've done this. And on the last day of the feast, the eighth day of the feast, Jesus stands up and he makes a declaration. He says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of him, his heart shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So today we're going to talk about thirst a little bit. And as we talk about thirst, I wanted to key you in on a couple of things here. Number one, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So Jesus is talking to these people who've been at this feast, celebrating the leaving of the Jewish people out of bondage and coming to a new place, the Feast of Tabernacles. And the ultimate message is that they were tabernacling because God was coming to live in their midst. And that's what the celebration was. So they're there and they're getting water from the Pool of Siloam, and they're taking that water and they're pouring it out at the temple. But they probably all thought, well, this is just another one of those rituals that we do that we really don't understand, but we do them to fulfill the law. They had no idea why for 1,000 years we're going to get water and we're coming and pouring this water at the temple when it doesn't make any sense. Why are we doing this? Why are we over and over and over and over every year? There is no purpose. The priests don't address it. We can't find it in the law. But every year, for some reason, we all know that we have to go get this water. We have to bring this water here. We have to bring it to the temple and pour it out. It has to be from a certain place. It can't be from anywhere. It has to be from a certain place. And after doing that for 7 days, Jesus stands up on the last day of the feast and says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me." What? Come to you? We got a pool we go into every day. There's plenty of water around here. Why would we want to come to you? We got water. We're sick of water. We're taking water and pouring water out every day. Why would we want to come to you? "If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink." The word "drink" there is the Greek word pino, P-I-N-O. And what it means, it doesn't just mean to drink as in I take a glass. It means to drink to the point of being drunk. That you drink so much that you're going over the edge, to be imbibed, okay? So you drink to a saturation point where you have drank so much that you have become full. So then the next part of this verse makes sense. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Why? Because when you come to him and drink, you will at a certain point overflow. See, there's no river that flows unless there is a filling. And there's no filling unless there's first a thirst, because you can't come to him unless you are thirsty. See, when we get comfortable and we think we have everything we need, we have no thirst whatsoever. We don't run to Jesus. So we said, call on his name, and he will answer you. But you won't call if you're not thirsty. You won't run to him if you're not thirsty. See, what happens in our lives is that problems and challenges in our lives reveal the inside hunger that we really have. So all the while we are crying out, there's something thirsty on the inside of us as believers, and even as unbelievers, we are thirsting for something, but we don't know what it is, and we keep going to the pool of Siloam, and we go to other pools trying to get water, pouring it out, and it's not doing anything, but all the while we're crying out, I'm thirsty, I need something else. I need something that will really satisfy me. I need something that will really quench me. And the pool of Siloam just represents anything else you do in order to get water, to quench your thirst. I know people who are thrill seekers, and they have to have something going all the time because they're thirsty. And they're always doing something, or trying to go somewhere, or trying to see something, or trying to be something. Why? Because they're thirsty, but they don't know what the real thirst is. And so the efforts to try to quench the thirst of humanity end up manifesting in habits, compulsions, sin. All the manifestation of people trying to fill the thirst. There's a promise throughout the Bible that God will pour water into things. This he speaks not concerning natural water, but concerning the Holy Spirit. The fulfillment of our souls only happens when we really receive the Spirit of God. When we receive the Spirit of God, when we really receive it into our souls, not to the point of just there's a drop in there, but we drink pino to saturation, to overflow, then all of a sudden rivers of living water begin pouring out of us. So in our series, we've been talking about the fact that Jesus stands up and speaks this truth, speaks out. If anyone thirsts, let him come after me. Out of his belly, out of his heart, his innermost man will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit. Now let's go real quickly and we'll look at this. Actually, we don't have to go there. Let me just recap this. So in this passage, we have Jesus promising living water. The thirsty have to come to him is the very first thing. So as we've gone through this series, we made these points. The thirsty have to come to him. If you're thirsty and you don't come to him, then you can't access what he has available. Amen? So again, wonderful brother, no negative at all. But the brother who said, I know the power of the name, I just don't apply myself to the faith. So what is that? He's hungry and he knows. He's thirsty and he knows. However, his quote, if Jesus came, I believe he would look more like this other faith than he would Christianity, because I don't see Christians living that way. And you know what? I didn't argue with him. He saw Jesus, quote, if Jesus was here today, Jesus would grab the prostitutes. Jesus would grab this person and that person, and he would say, come with me. I didn't argue with him. Because the problem is that the church has not fully gotten thirsty enough. We haven't gotten thirsty enough. I know a man who went to this on this missionary trip. Went to this missionary trip to India. He's a pastor here in Vallejo. He went on this missionary trip in India, and when he came back, he said, "Man, we saw amazing things happen. We saw this happen." He's describing these various things that happened. Our sons went to the same school, so we were all just interacting about this. And as he's sharing this with me, he says, "The people there are hungry. They see manifestations because they're hungry and thirsty enough to go after the water." See, when we're full, we don't go after things. When I was a child, I was a very, very picky eater. I'm still relatively picky. But when I was a child, I was extremely picky. And so I would only eat certain things. And so a friend of our family watched me one day, and he said, "Y'all haven't let that boy get hungry. He picks and chooses what he wants to eat because he's never really been hungry. And so he picks and chooses, and he won't eat this and he won't eat that. Let him get hungry. He will eat." But my mama took care of me. My mama still didn't make, she didn't make me go through that. Anyway, but when you have choices and when you have options or when you believe that you do, you will not choose what you don't like. So Christians, sometimes when God is developing us or cultivating us and trying to put us in position for breaking so that you can get thirsty, we choose not to be broken because we don't have to go that route. When God makes it visible that we could go through something and see His glory, or we can be comfortable, we will choose not to go through what we know we need to go through because we have a choice. We're not thirsty enough. This morning, I had a rough weekend, very rough weekend. I had a good time with some different things I did, but I had just had a rough weekend. I could not get settled. And so I woke up Friday night. I can't sleep. Woke up really early Saturday morning. Man, I can't sleep. So we went and did something Saturday morning with a couple brothers, and I all day long laid on the couch and took a nap and woke up and I was still tired. My wife looked at me, she said, "You look tired." So I'm just tired. I can't figure out what's wrong. And I went to bed last night. I woke up 3 o'clock this morning. I said, "Man, what is wrong?" So I go downstairs and I start praying. And the Holy Spirit said, "I'm giving you thirst. I'm giving you a thirst. I'm making you uncomfortable. I'm breaking some shells in you. I'm tearing some things down in you. I'm making you thirsty for my presence. I'm making you thirsty again. You can't be satisfied where you are. You can't be satisfied with what just happened. You can't be satisfied with good things that you're enjoying. You can't be satisfied with that. You can't be satisfied because you have a nice income. You can't be satisfied because your children are growing up and they're doing well. You can't be satisfied. You can't be satisfied because you have a good relationship with your wife. You can't be satisfied because you got a handful of friends. You can't be satisfied with that. You got to come to me as the scripture has said. You got to come to me with your heart in your hands. You got to come to me and say, you know what? This is not good enough. You got to come to me even though you have a comfortable house to live in. You got to come to me because you happen to have some possessions. Yeah, that's not enough. You can't let those things begin to author how thirsty you are for me. You can't allow those things to start stopping you from really going all the way in. We've been so blessed. We've been so blessed. And we can't be like the man who built all these barns to house his grain. And eventually, foolish man, your soul's going to be required of you today. You're building for tomorrow, but you're not thinking about today. See, there's a thirst that is expected of us, and there's a promise of God to fill it. But there has to be a point in the Christian life where we say, Lord, I don't care what I have. I want more of you. I want to clear this container out so more can come in. I want to be where you want me to be. I want to be a person who walks around and hears your voice. I want to be a person who's a partner with you, not a spectator in the church. I don't want to be a spectator in Christianity. I want to be a spectator in what God is doing. I want to be in the flow. See, sometimes at churches, we've come to this place where we come to churches to become members. We come to churches to become members. But God wants us to be partners. He wants us to be partners in the work, partners in the things that he's doing. That's why he said, if anyone, not the chosen few, not the special anointed, not the called from the womb, not them, if anyone, you don't have to wait on a special tap on the shoulder from God. You don't have to wait for someone to come to your house and prophesy, thus says the Lord, you have been chosen. You don't have to have someone come and measure the size of your forehead to see if you have the special skull for the things of God. If anyone is thirsty, anyone's thirsty, you don't have to be a specific age, you don't have to be a specific race, you don't have to have a special social status, you don't have to have special gifts, you don't have to have anything but a thirst. There are people who have multiple gifts and talents, but they're not thirsty. When we used to coach basketball, and we would see where there would be teams with more talent than anybody else. Tons of talent, tons of ability, but a team with half their ability would come and wipe them out of the gym because that team was hungry and thirsty. They wanted it more. They wanted to win. They wanted to play hard. Whereas the gifted person sometimes forgets that they have to work hard. So God says, I choose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Why? Because I will take a person who looks to everybody else like they're not gifted, but they're thirsty for me, because I will fill them with my abilities and cause them to rise above everything else. So God can take a man who everybody else says was an idiot and reveal things to him and cause him to be one of the greatest inventors in the United States history. Henry Ford was a believer who had tremendous understanding of things, but everybody said he was dumb. They even took him to trial for incompetence. But what? But Ford is still on stuff driving around. Why? Because God gave him something. God gave him an anointing to do. God gave him an anointing to fulfill some things. And so we have to be aware that God wants to pour an anointing on us. This river of living water is not just for dancing and shouting. It's for those who are thirsty to see God move in their lives, and they know that they are called to step into the world and do things as unto the Lord. We're called to do whatsoever we do in word or in deed, do it as unto the Lord. Why? Because we are worshiping him in our presence and doing what we do. And what when you worship God in spirit and in truth and you're pushing forward, why? Rivers of living water will come out of you. Amen. Do you see a man who excels at his work? He shall not remain nameless, but he shall be brought before great people. Why? Because there's rivers of water flowing out of him. Turn to Psalms chapter 1 real quick. Psalms chapter 1, or Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. When you get there, tell your neighbor, I'm thirsty, but not as thirsty as I'm going to be. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 1. When you get there, give me a smile. All right, I see y'all. Here we go. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Once again, here's that river. When we're in the Word and we're allowing the Word, we're not taking the counsel of others, but we're coming to God and his Word for counsel. As we're putting the Word in our hearts, faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the Word. Our faith is increased, and when we believe on him, as the scripture has said, out of our belly flows this river. So here in Psalm chapter 1, we see once again, there is this river, and this river is causing trees to grow and to produce fruit. See, if we stay in the Word and we keep ourselves of the mindset to walk where God says, not in man's counsel, but the counsel of God, then he says he will make us fruitful. Whatever we do will prosper. Not half the things, whatever we do will prosper. Blessed is the man who's not taking his counsel from other men, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. Thinking about what God would have me do, having what God would have me to say, how God would have me to walk, how God would have me to move, keeping my meditation there based on his word. And then when I walk into the world, he starts causing his river to flow. He causes, we talked about the vision of Ezekiel, that Ezekiel had the vision that he saw the temple with the river flowing out of it. And wherever the river went, it brought life. So wherever that river that's pouring out of us goes, it brings life to every circumstance. And we talked before about environments and taking authority over environments and bringing the water to the environment, bringing that Holy Spirit into the environment, causing the environment to shape to us and not be shaped by it. That we have the power to shape environments. We have the power to allow the river that's in us to do what the Mississippi River does, takes ground. That when it starts to flow, it doesn't allow the cities that have been built on its shore to dictate where it goes. It goes where it wants to go. It goes wherever it can flow. And so you built your house next to the river. Sorry, here comes the river. You don't have power over the river. And so what God is telling us is that if you cause this river to flow, blessed, you can't, nobody can stop you from prospering when you let the river flow out of you. Nobody can stop your prosperity. Nobody can hold back what you do. Nobody can resist what God is doing in your life when you let the river flow out of you. And we talked about removing the dams, removing the things that are blocking that flow, removing those things that aren't like God, grieving the Holy Spirit, getting those things out of our way so that there's no blockage from us. Now, somebody may resist. Somebody may try to stand between you and what God has called you to do, but they can't fight the river. Whatsoever he does will prosper, whose leaf shall not wither. When I recognize I'm getting tired, I can always go back and see where I'm blocking the flow. The river level's getting low. I was studying something the other day. I was studying about rivers. When I was a child, we had to take California geography in third, fourth grade, somewhere around here. So when we took the geography class, they said, we have the San Francisco Bay, and then we have the bay gets, has these two, in this channel, there's two great rivers that split. And there's the Sacramento River that goes north, and there's the San Joaquin River that goes south. And the Sierra Mountains, the snow from the Sierra Mountains comes down into those two rivers and causes those rivers to flow, and they flow out into the bay. That's what I learned when I was third and fourth grade. I still remember it. Oakland Unified School District, it works, right? All right. Anyway. But I was reading, and I found this website that talked about endangered rivers. And the most endangered river in the United States is the San Joaquin River, 450 miles long. Most endangered river in the country. I'm going somewhere with this. So as I'm reading, it called to mind, Tammy and I were driving through the Central Valley one day, and I saw a sign that said San Joaquin River. And when we drove over, I looked down, I said, Tammy, there's no water in there. It's a dry riverbed. There's nothing in there. This is the San Joaquin River. This thing is, I'm going to have my fourth grade flashback. This thing is 450 miles long. This is, why was there no water in that riverbed? As I'm looking at this website, it said, years of abuse and diversion. Years of abuse and diversion have caused this river to dry up. Diversion. What's the diversion? The diversion is all the farmers tapping in on the side of the river. The diversion is all the cities that need water and tapping in to the river. The diversion is all the people who are polluting or doing other things to the river so that this once great river is now dry. Because as fast as the supply comes down from the mountains, it gets tapped off in other places. So as I'm reading this, the Holy Spirit is saying, when you get tired, it's because there's diversions. You get tapped off from the source. And you're spending too much time on your diversions. And you're not staying thirsty. You're not remaining in that place of thirst where you don't allow those things to branch off and steal that flow of the Spirit that I want to pour through you. We know how good God is. We know what an awesome God is. We know that. But the battle is how to remain thirsty. How to remain thirsty is very simple. It's very simple. The number one way to remain thirsty is to honor God with what you have. And I'm not talking about necessarily giving. I'm talking about honoring God for what you have. So that means, first of all, to have a spirit of thanksgiving. To be thankful for what we have. To not take it for granted. not take the things that we have. Sometimes the enemy comes against us and he becomes that diversion, and he's trying to tap you into getting your focus off the river and onto whatever he wants you to look at. So you can have blessings in your life, but tear down your house swatting the fly that got inside. A house full of beautiful things, and a fly gets inside. And we're swatting at him and breaking stuff and tearing stuff up, trying to get this little fly in a house of blessing. That's what the adversary does. He tries to get you focused on the negative things so that you can become consumed with that and not be thankful for what you have. So number one way to remain thirsty is to be thankful. The second thing in remaining thirsty, and we talked about this the other day, is to lift our eyes. Talked about last week about lifting our eyes, about not just looking at our stuff, but looking at what's beyond the walls of our house? What's beyond the walls of our church? What's the beyond the walls of our city? What's out there? What needs God's flow attached to it? What needs to be touched by the Spirit of God? So maybe you're full. Maybe you got what you need. But who else needs it? Who else needs? Who do you have to stay thirsty for? The word says the blessing of the Lord makes us rich and he adds no sorrow with it. And because he adds no sorrow, sometimes we get relaxed because we're so blessed. Amen. Turn to Isaiah chapter 11 real quick. Isaiah 11. We've covered this before, but I want to tie this into, we're talking about being thirsty. I told you that you know, I had this kind of experience, but one of the things that went well yesterday was I was at a restaurant with a couple of brothers, and we were just sitting talking about a couple of things, and one of the brothers was sharing an idea, and we were talking, and we started talking about the Lord, and all of a sudden there became a flow of ideas at the table, and it was like a supernatural flow of ideas. All these things, they just started pouring out, right? So what was it? It was an anointing. But that doesn't sound like an anointing. Was anybody dancing? Did you guys feel anything? No, I didn't feel nothing. I just felt like something was flowing. Why? Because anointing is not just. Anointing is bigger. It's bigger than we think about. So here's what it is. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. We know that's Jesus. Amen. A branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And this anointing has these aspects. It has the spirit of wisdom, of understanding, the spirit of counsel, might, the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And his delight in the fear of the Lord, he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. See, what anointing does is anointing brings these things. When we're thirsty and water starts to pour out of us, it brings these things into the environment. It starts to bring ideas. It starts to bring new life. It starts to bring wisdom and understanding. So the number one place for our rivers to flow are the places where God gives us opportunity to pour wisdom, understanding, and knowledge into. God wants to have the anointing flow inside our households. God wants to have supernatural things happening in our households, not spooky things, supernatural things. What does that look like? Supernatural things happening in your household is for the spirit of wisdom to break out. The spirit of wisdom to just break out in your house. What is that? That you have trained up your children the way they should go, and then you think that they're not getting it, and all of a sudden you see a spirit of wisdom rise up. Wow. Praise the Lord. What is that? It's an anointing happening in the household. It's when you go to work and there's problems that seem like it's a simple answer here. It is simple to you because you have an anointing. You have an anointing. You can see stuff that other people can't see. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord has come to rest in you. You have the Spirit of God. But now with the Spirit of God has to happen that the boldness to know that it is God has to take place, so we're bold to speak out those truths when we see it. That we're not shy about saying, I believe this is the answer. The Spirit of the Lord rested on Daniel. And Daniel as a young man was thirsty for God's presence. Well, how do you know that? Because Daniel as a young man told his captors, don't feed us that stuff because it's going to block the flow. We don't want to eat the food you Babylonians been eating. Just give us vegetables and water. Let us have that and test us in a few days. After 10 days, come and test us and we will be stronger and smarter than everybody else you're feeding that stuff to. We need to stay close to God. Joseph had a spirit of wisdom on him. How'd he get it? Because he wanted to be close to God. Well, how do you know that? Because when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, when he was in a position of authority, he said, how can I do this before the Lord? He wanted to maintain that position with God. He was thirsty to stay in the position with God. So he said no to something in order to have God work with him, to have God's presence on him. See, that's where we're going. God has taken his church to a place where we're so thirsty. See, some of the persecution on the church right now, we think, oh God, we're standing against this, we're standing against that. You can stand against it all you want. Sometimes God allows certain things to happen. Now, I misspoke last week. I quoted something about Samson that was incorrect about. It was actually David, and so I'll fix that later on in the message. I like to be accurate with the word. So when I went back and I looked at this, Samson, the word says that Samson wanted to marry a woman outside of his race. And his parents said, no, don't do this. And this is what the passage says. His parents resisted because they did not know God was going to use it for his glory. Sometimes we think the devil is authoring things, but Jesus is the author and finisher of my faith. And even when things look like they're going wrong for me, he's authoring for me. Because see, sometimes my kids will get mad because I have to tell them what to do, or I have to tell them, you can't do this, you can't do that. I'm authoring their lives because I'm responsible for them. They don't like it, they don't agree with it, but you know what? I'm authoring it because I can look ahead and see where certain things are going. So God is sometimes authoring and turning things around in order to keep us thirsty for him. And there's sometimes things get into our life and we're trying to cast it out and we're trying to push it away. And Paul had to say, God, I'm tasking you over and over to take this away. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is going to be made perfect in this thing you calling a weakness. I have to keep this thing here to keep you thirsty. I'm keeping this thing in your life so that you don't run off and think that your revelations have made you so much something. I showed you the revelations to document them, to feed the people coming behind you. I didn't give it to you to make you proud. I gave you revelation in order to feed the people. But because you need to understand, I'm going to allow this thorn to stay here. Cast it out. Take it away. I could. But do you want to stay thirsty? Do you want to remain in the place of blessing? Do you want me to continue to operate with you? Jacob, trying to cheat to get a blessing. He finally has an encounter one-on-one with God. And he said, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to wrestle with you all night. So he's wrestling all night. And so finally, the sun is coming up. He said, okay, that's enough. I'm going to leave you a little gift to know that you're blessed. And he got him in his thigh. And he walked with a limp from then on. You had an encounter with God, but you're going to remember it was God. You didn't wrestle God and make God bless you. You wrestled with God and God chose to bless you. And he left you with a little gift to remember. You're not in charge. But the thirsty sometimes have things in their lives that keep them thirsty. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, we're in Isaiah chapter 11, right? Let's go to Isaiah. We're going to hit a few scriptures real quick. Isaiah 12 and 3. Flip over a page. Two pages. Isaiah 12 and 3. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. There's water in the wells of salvation. Amen. There's water that God has available to you, but you got to draw it out. You have to draw the water out. Whew, man. Come on. Let's go. Isaiah 43. Let's jump over there. You got to turn some pages with me real quick here. Isaiah 43. We referenced this the other day, a couple weeks ago. Let's take a look at this. Behold, I do a new thing, remember? Uh-huh. Well, let's see what else the new thing is. Verse 20. Isaiah 43 and 20. It says, the beast of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. God says, I want to give it to my chosen. I'll make rivers flow in the desert to get it to my people. I will make waters flow. Remember, he's not talking about water. He's talking about the Spirit. I will make the Spirit flow in desert places. Amen? All right, turn one over. Isaiah 44, verse 3. If you can't keep up with me, just write them down. Isaiah 44 and 3. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. Come on now. I will pour water on you. Who? On who? On the thirsty. Look at it. I will pour water on him who is thirsty. He's not pouring water on the saturated, those that already think they got it. He's not pouring it on them. He's pouring it on the thirsty. Amen? Amen. Say, praise God, God's keeping me thirsty. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 1. When you get there, give me a smile. All right. Isaiah 55, verse 1. We're almost done here. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. No excuses. But I don't have what it takes. Come and buy anyway. But I don't have no money. Come buy without money. How do I buy without money? Just show up. Just show up. Just come to it. He that comes to me, that's what Jesus said, come to me. If you come to me, whoever's thirsty, if you come to me and drink, don't just drink a little sip, drink to get full up. You can come and get with no money, nothing. You don't bring anything. You don't have anything. You can't buy what he's given away. man, you can't, oh man, you can't buy this. All right, John 6, John chapter 6. Man. Oh, Lord, have mercy. John chapter 6. We're going to go to verse 35. Thirsty. Praise God, we got it up here. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. You got to believe. Your money can't buy it, only your faith. Only your faith can get you full. Only your faith can get you full. He who believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And Jesus said to them, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. If you come, you'll never hunger. But if you believe, you'll never thirst. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Revelation chapter 21. Oh, my gosh. If I had a camera to show you what's going on in my head right now, I wish I could show it to you because I can't say it. If I could show it to you, then man. Revelation 21, verse 6, 21 and 6. Praise the Lord. When you get there, say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. All right. Revelation 21, verse 6. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Oh, Jesus. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end of this thing. I know what's starting it. I know what's going to finish it. And in the middle of it, if you're thirsty, I will fill you. Oh, my God. Revelation 22 and 17. Praise God. Revelation 22 and 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, Lord, whoever desires. So I'm going to ask you today as we close out, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? See, if you ain't thirsty, I'm sorry, but if you're thirsty, God has something to fill us with. God has something awesome to fill us with. We got to keep our eyes on that which matters. Keep our eyes on that which matters the most. Are you thirsty? Praise the Lord. So in this time when we've been talking about the flow, this promise of the Holy Spirit, this gift of the Spirit of God that God is freely giving to us, we want to keep our heart in that place of hunger and thirst. We want to stay in that position where we count it all joy, but at the same time, we remain thirsty. See, we could be satisfied very easily. And this morning when I was praying, the Holy Spirit just kept flashing my blessings before me. I kept seeing, I'm blessed like this, I'm blessed like that, I have this blessing, I have that blessing. I have this and I have that and this and that, and I have these people and I have these people and I have these people and I have this and I have that, and I'm thinking about that. But then he took me back to when I was 21 years old. And when I was 21, he was breaking me. My grandmother used to tell me, she would say, are you 30 years old yet? I said, no, I'm only 21. She said, good Lord, it just seemed like you didn't been here a long time. It just seemed like you just done a whole lot of stuff. It just seemed like you're 30 years old. I said, no, I'm 21. And I had done a lot of stuff by the time I was 21. But God was breaking me in that season. And it seems like, what kind of breaking was he doing? And this morning I was meditating on the fact that I was in this environment once. I was at this thing and everything was perfect. And I remember stepping back and looking at the whole thing and saying, I'm not satisfied. Everybody in there is having a great time. Everybody's enjoying the whole scene. The roof was on fire. Everything was going. But I stepped away from it and I put my back against the wall and I looked all across the room and I said, I'm not satisfied. Something's missing. And I can't figure out what it is. And I spent the next year with people asking me, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? I don't know what's wrong with me. But the hunger for God was starting to shape. The hunger for God was starting to get past here, getting down in my heart. And see, when we're witnessing to people, we judge on the surface, but we don't know is that your words go down and they start chipping into that innermost man and they start preparing people's hearts for the filling. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for the hungry in here. We thank you that every hungry soul in this room is being filled right now as we speak. We thank you that you fill us to the overflow. Let us not be satisfied.